thankful for those that are here tonight. And I realize that we're few in number, but strong in spirit. And the Lord, we pray that we may be able to make change and bring more and more souls to these assemblies. We just sang the song, "To the Work." And it's so important to think those words through and apply them. Lord willing, they'll apply to the very lesson that we're going to look at tonight. While I'm preparing for that, if you'll open your Bibles to the book of Haggai. You know, to the work, we are servants of God. And it's so important for us to just underline servants of God. We can't please God without serving God. And so it's so important for us. And in our service to God, one of the things we have to be mindful of and careful of is that everything that we do in the body, everything that we do in the church is pleasing to God according to God's Word. And that we're not living as adulterers in the Lord's church. And Lord willing, if I can keep that thought in mind, we'll talk about that a little bit tonight and more on another day. I'd like to talk to you tonight about a trip that I took to West Virginia when I went down to visit Eric Krieg and his family at one time. He took me on a road trip and we went through the mountains of West Virginia and visited about 12 different congregational buildings. They were old buildings that hadn't been used for years. And one of those old buildings, it was abandoned. And it was from a congregation called the Alvey Church of Christ. And I was able, from the outside, it didn't look too bad. But as you look through the windows, things were falling down from the ceiling and there was trash everywhere. And you got to wonder what causes that house of ruin. This is actually a photograph of that building. And you can see the things hanging and things just laying on pews. It's a mess. And I'm certain that there were days that those members would have said to you that we're a strong congregation and we're going to be here for years and years to come. But as the case is with many congregations, they just didn't see the end coming. And as God's people here in Bedford, we want to look and see signs and be able to make sure that our end isn't coming before the end of all things as a congregation. As a church of Christ, we want to be wise enough to look at the things that might hinder us. As individuals, we need to examine ourselves on a regular basis. And we need to fix what's lacking. Otherwise, one day, we ourselves will be looking at a house of ruin. You know, about 600 years ago, before Christ, Judah was taken captive in Babylon. Jerusalem was, its temple, it was plundered. It was burned. And 70 years later, the Jews, they were allowed to return. They were allowed to come out of captivity. And it was the Lord's intention that these Jews would come and rebuild the temple. You can keep Haggai there, but I'm looking here at Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and I'll just read that to you. And the keynote here is restoration. Now, on the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kings of the earth that the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people, that may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold and goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the fathers, the houses of Judah, Benjamin, the priests, the Levites, and all whose spirits God had moved arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. You know, we all need to realize that when the house begins to fall, we need to shore it up. And once the people had returned to Jerusalem, the problem started that other things began to take precedence in their lives. And then God sent Haggai to the Jews with a very simple message. And the simple part of that message is simply build the temple. The message was an application in the same way it can be an application for the church today. And so look at your Bibles in Haggai chapter 1, and let's take a little bit closer look at this as we think of Haggai's message to Israel. Number one, we want to think about the attitude of the Jews. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Imagine that. Haggai is being sent to the Jews. They're being told to build the house of the Lord, and they're saying the time hasn't come. That attitude doesn't fly. And in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we read that the Haggai, the prophet, he comes and he says, "It is time for you yourselves to dwell in your... Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins?" He's trying to reason with them. You know, they were too busy building their own homes as we see this. They put buildings... building their own homes before building and working on the house of the Lord. In other words, they put God in second place. And when we think about our congregation here, time and time again, we have heard the words that there is two churches, right? Three churches, right? How many churches are there? One church. Now, I mentioned the word adultery earlier, and I'm going to chase a little tiny rabbit. I'm not going to waste a lot of time. But if you're working with another congregation, another church, that's not the Lord's church, you're an adulterer. And if you spend time doing all kinds of things, even things of this world, and you spend no time actively working in the Lord's church, you're an adulterer. Read your Bibles. Read the book of James. See what James says in James chapter 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, love of the world, love of the things of the world makes you an enemy with God. And I got to tell you, it would grieve me to think that I myself were out helping some denomination evangelize, and I've not lifted one finger to help the congregation of God's people. That's adultery. They put building their own houses, their own things, their own thoughts, their own ways before God. And their attitude is made very clear. Look at Haggai 1 and 9. The latter part of the verse, "Because my house that is in ruin while every one of you runs to his own house. They were all too busy doing their own things in order that God's house had to lay in waste, lay in ruin. Wrong attitude. You know, while the Lord's house lays in ruins, again, everybody's concerned for their own home. The message of Haggai. Look at verse 4 again. In verses 4 through 15. It is time, or is it rather, time to dwell in paneled homes is the question. And leave God's house, His temple, in ruins. Is there time for that in verse 4? The Lord's challenge in verse 5, we need to receive this. Remember this morning we talked about the Lord saying, David, David, and David here has to say, here I am, Lord. And we need this as a congregation. It's applicable to today's church. In verse 5, we read the challenge of the Lord, which is simply, consider your ways. I am a Christian. I am born again of the Spirit of God. By the blood of Christ, I have been cleansed, and I'm out doing the work for other churches. Or I'm at home making myself so busy that I don't have time to do the work for the Lord. There's so many things that happen in this life that keep us from God. But there's only one church, and we need to think heartily upon that. Things that have not been going well, you look at verse 6. And in verses 7 and 8, they should have been building the temple the whole time. But because they had put building their homes before the Lord's house, they prospered little. We read that in verse 9. He says, my house is in ruins, and everyone running to their own house. But they're not prospering. The drought, because of the judgment, has come upon them. Look at verses 10 and 11. He says, therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew. The earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains and on the grain and the new wine and the oil and on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock and on all the labor of your hands. These people were so busy with their own things that they even didn't notice that the Lord was taking from them. The preaching of Haggai, though, proved very successful. Because in chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, we see that the people in reverence, they obeyed God. We need to be that kind of person. We need to put God first above all things. Complete the construction of the temple. It tells us in the latter part of verse 12 that they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words Haggai the prophet, as God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. And Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people. I am with you, says the Lord. And so the Lord stirred up the spirit. The spirit of all the remnant of all the people. They worked on the house of the Lord. You see how wonderful that is when our spirit is stirred up for God. And since all these things happen, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:11, they happen as an example for us. They're written for our admonition. Then we need to heed these same warnings. So let's consider for a little bit here the New Testament church. We face a very similar task in the church today. Not building physical structures. You know, the Bible tells us God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. And He's the one who made the worlds and the heavens. But He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Today, the church, the body of Christ, we are the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the church of God, Paul says, which is at Corinth. You think Paul's writing a letter to a building? We know better than that. He's not writing a letter to the building, but to all those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Those who are called to be saints. And we are the ones who are calling upon the name of the Lord. We are the ones that need to heed the warning and make sure that we're building in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so it's our job. We need to be examining ourselves daily, looking into that mirror, making sure that we are doing service to the Lord day in and day out. When we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 and following, we see that the foundation is built on the apostles, on the prophets, and on Jesus Christ Himself being the head chief cornerstone. And so we're that building that's being made. We're all that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter says we're what? Living stones. We're the building parts of the church here upon the earth. And we need to be building that dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And we need not to get so concerned about the things of our own homes, our own lives, that we forget to do the work of the Lord and His church. And this is something that grows internally with us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. That's something that each one is converted and each one must do their part. And so we have a very similar case to the building the temple, that it's a never-ending task. It's something that must be done continually. Haggai's message, you know, it's very applicable to us today. Does the Lord's house lie in ruin? That's what we need to think about. And you know, we need to continually work together as the congregation. We love one another. We care for one another. We want to do good. And we want to love the Lord first. And so we want the church to have every opportunity to grow, not just in number, but in strength and in spirit. You know, allow other things that keep us from the work, that keep us from the evangelism and keep us from teaching and admonishing and doing the things that we should be doing. Then we're neglecting our own path. And we're not edifying the body of Christ. So whatever our abilities are, we have a responsibility to build in the Lord's church. We're to, as Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, we're not to think so highly of ourselves. We want to think highly of God. And God has given us gifts, has He not? And when you look at Romans 12, 3 through 8, you'll see words that say, and use them. Let us use them. The gifts that God teaching is a gift. Exhorting is a gift. Evangelizing is a gift. Praying is a gift. And we need to use whatever gifts that we have that God has given us. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and following, he talks about, if we speak, we should be speaking the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, he said, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. So it involves work. In Romans chapter 10, as we look at this, Romans in verses 14 and 15, sometimes it requires people being sent or people going. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And we need to be out there preaching the word and ministering and teaching and exhorting in order for the church to continue. It's so easy to forget to do the little things. that actually are the most enormous things there are in the church. And through exercising these abilities, we ourselves together, we can continue to build upon precept in the church. We can continue to build on the love, continue to build on the Spirit, and continue to strive for greater things for one another. And we can do that in the temple of God today. Otherwise, it'll be no different today than it was in Haggai's time or prior to Haggai. And so it's very applicable. The question was, is it time to dwell in paneled homes and let the Lord's house be in ruin? And evidently, some in that time would think so. I will serve the Lord as soon as I finish my schooling. I'll serve the Lord as soon as I get on top of the responsibilities of my job. I'll soon serve the Lord as soon as I finish raising my children. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could insert in there. But in each case, the bottom line is really the same. The Lord's house ends up lying in ruin. And while we go about our own way with our own lives, in Haggai's day, it wasn't time. They thought in their minds it wasn't time. They put other things before work of the Lord. For us, we need to say it's time. It's time today. And it requires little changes sometimes in our life, in our lifestyle, or our life patterns. But we must put the kingdom of God first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And we must put the Lord first. In Matthew chapter 10, a very familiar verse, 37 and following, Jesus tells, you know, if you love your father and your mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son or your daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. And if we're not willing to take up our cross and bear that cross, then we're not worthy of the Lord. It's going to take work, but it's something that has great reward. Things don't always go the way we want them to go. Perhaps there's a divine reason. You know, there were reasons because there was a drought in our lives. Things aren't, they're not going quite right. And we need to look at the Lord and look at His providence and trust in the Lord. See if the Lord's telling us something. But if we put the Lord first in His kingdom, that's His house, then God will provide the necessities. That was the promise in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. If we seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, all these things will be added. God will multiply our seed of sowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11, we read about, Paul says, this I say. He says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. So we don't want to be a people who aren't out sowing the seed or out doing the work, ministering, not just evangelism, but exhorting and prayers and loving one another. Those are all seeds that we can sow. And as long as we're sowing those seeds, as long as we're doing work in the house of God, He tells us we'll reap bountifully. And we need to do that as we purpose in our heart. Don't do it because you have to. Do it because of the love that you have for God. For God loves a cheerful giver. And so we want to be able to be a part of that. In verse 10 he says, now may He, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, there, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. And so we need to be seed sowers. And that'll help us. We can be teaching. We can be learning. We can be praying. But we need to put the Lord first. If we neglect the Lord's Word, you know, I believe that every congregation, when it first began, the people were fervent and zealous, and it grew. And then over the years, something can happen. And what can happen is people become complacent. And we don't want to be those people. We want to examine ourselves. We want to look at how we live and how we work. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, we're familiar with that, we should judge ourselves so that we would not be judged. 11, verse 31. We want to judge ourselves. Because if we can do that, then we won't be judged. And when we are judged, we're chastened. And it's a good thing to be chastened by the Lord so that we won't be condemned with the world. Turn lastly to Hebrews chapter 11, or 12 rather. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. He writes, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." And that's speaking to every member of this congregation. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Verse 11. "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And that's what the Lord did to the nation, Judah, then, through Haggai and Ezra. And that's what the Lord continually does with us, day by day, so that we can learn daily to work rightly in the household of God. You know, the phrase, "I am with you," we saw the Lord, he said that. And the Jews, they took heart to that message. And when we see that message, the phrase, "I am with you," it's the same thing that Jesus said to the disciples. "Go into all the nations, making disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatever I commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, until the end of the age." We call that the Great Commission. And so these apostles, they came, they taught, and through the years we must continually teach and to do what the Lord has called us to do. We need to be thinking about building where there's weakness. We need to shore up walls where they falter. And we need to do that before they fall. We did not stress much of that in the lesson, but they did say there in Haggai 1 and 13, "I am with you, says the Lord." And thus we have an assurance that if we observe all that Christ commanded, then he will be with us always, and even as God was with Israel. So it's important for us to learn the lesson there. The Lord's house had to be built then in the physical sense. Today, the Lord's house has to be built in the spiritual sense. And we want to remember that the promise is for all of us. And we need to build. We need to build. That's our auditorium. And a nice auditorium it is. It's very nice, beautiful. But like that one in West Virginia, the Albee Church of Christ, if we don't build, then our auditorium may end up one day looking like this. And that's not something we want. And let's remember that we're not really talking just about an auditorium. Because it isn't the building that we worry about. It's the souls. So what you're seeing is a reflection of what a soul should be and what it could be. And let's stick with the should-bes. So those the lesson. Haggai, he wants us, he instructed to build. We'd have to build upon the church. Remember the song that we sang before the lesson? We need to be toiling on. We need to get to the work, and we need to work the work. The strength of the Lord. That way that we will receive that crown. There's no one here tonight that's not a member of the church, and we need to remember that even though the invitation doesn't apply to us tonight, the invitation to be saved, it's something we all want to remember and be able to extend to everyone around us. That's the idea of building and evangelizing. And it's something we shouldn't stress about. It's a pretty very easy, concise, clear thing. It's not something that requires degrees, 4 different degrees. We just tell people that they need to hear the word. If they believe that word, accept God for who He is, they have to repent of their sins. They have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be baptized, washing away their sins. And if they do that, they can be added to the church. And if we are members of the church and we haven't been examining ourselves as we should, or we've kind of lost that zeal, if we're working in areas where we shouldn't be working, or if we're just putting the Lord second, then maybe it's time to examine again how we live our lives. And for those of us who have remained faithful, I should say for those who remain faithful, then you're building. You're building on the house that the Lord has built. We have a song of invitation. The song is Come to Jesus. Song number 200, or Jesus is Calling, 294. If you have a need, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.